Hey there, guys. Welcome to AfterBuzz, and we're going to get into today The Good Place. And this is the perfect place for everything about The Good Place. Season 3, Episode 4. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes! Yes!
So exciting. I just love the intro music to this.
It just relaxes you.
It does.
It's only 3 seconds of relaxation, but you know, you got to get it
it's
in
enough,
those 3 seconds.
You know?
Dun, 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 dun. Hey guys, welcome back. We are all going to get into season 3, episode 4 or 5. You know, it's either
however
way online.
You split up the premiere. You know,
you do it,
whatever
you know?
Floats your boat.
Jeremy Baremi. And at first when I heard that, I was like, what?
I know. Like, I was so confused.
Is there a character I missed or something? But they obviously explained it during the episode. But stay tuned. We're going to get into Michael and Janet. Then we're going to talk about Chidi, of course. We're going to talk about Tahani and Jason. And then we're going to end it off with Eleanor. And then stay tuned. We've got a special segment coming out.
Of course.
Chalk it up to Chidi. And also, we have some news and predictions.
Yeah.
It's going to be a full 30 minutes, guys.
Yeah,
strap in. Hold your urine.
Buckle those seatbelts.
We about to get into it. So how did you... Oh, and my name is Sarai, by the way. My name is Sarai and...
I'm Taylor.
Taylor. So what did you think of this episode?
It was great, as always. I mean, The show, just in the last episode, I was so impressed how they, like, did the year time jump within, like, a span of 5 minutes. I'm like, that's such, like, just amazing writing. The fact that they can continue to just, like, mess with time and, like, reboots and all this crazy stuff. And this one was obviously no exception. I especially loved the part that the title kind of hinged on, where they explained how time worked in the afterlife. I thought that was hilarious and just like so. As with Chidi, it kind of broke me a little bit.
So creative. Like, I wonder if they get high before these episodes, before they write. Because who thinks of that?
I don't know. They're brilliant, though. Yeah.
For you guys who may not know what she's talking about, they were saying how on Earth the timeline is straight. It's a straight line, and then there's different instances throughout. But in the afterlife, it's spelt out Jeremy Baremi.
Jeremy Baremi, yeah.
Yeah, in cursive. Ah, Michael.
So funny.
Yeah. So let's get into it. Michael and Janet, we start off the episode. You know, Michael and Janet, they walk in, and there's an interdimensional door.
There you go.
There
you
it
got
is.
It.
Third time's a charm. And the door is open and everybody's like, what? I know last episode, on that cliffhanger, I was thinking, where are they going to go?
I know.
Where are they going to go with this one?
Oh my gosh. There's always so many directions they could go. And then they never choose the one I think they're going to like choose. They always like invent a new one I never would have thought of. It's crazy.
So I guess they chose the crazy honesty factor.
Right? That's the weirdest thing in this show. That never happens.
Let's see. We screwed up. Let's just tell the truth. Yeah, that's what they chose. They basically told everyone the truth from beginning to end. And I want to see like a big time lapse on that, but it just seemed like it took like 5 minutes. I don't know how that whole story took 5 minutes, but it took 5 minutes, and everyone handled it differently. Michael and Janet decides to write a manifesto. What do you think about that?
I thought it was great, and I especially thought it was great how Michael just like can't type fast, can't find the age, and then by the end of the episode, Jana has this like 1,000-page manuscript. I thought that was really funny. Yeah, and I thought it was cool, and I like how they decided to like integrate suggestions like for changing the afterlife process. And I don't know, I think the show is just so interesting how it like raises those questions of like, is this the best way to do things? And I'm excited to see what comes of that. I thought that was a really sort of fun thing. And
play with, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that could, like, go a lot of different directions, too.
I think it's interesting. The manifesto, I wonder if it's going to get published on Earth, and then everyone learns how to be a better person based on this. Because the whole idea that the group now knows they're going to hell, woof, what would you do? You know, like, put that in the comments. What would you, if you knew you couldn't basically save your own soul, would you try to do good, or would you basically wild out, you know?
Yeah, that's
interesting, yeah.
That's, like, the ultimate question, you know?
This show always makes me think, you know, like,
There's so many moral dilemmas. It's crazy.
Especially the last episode when farting brings you to hell. So I was like, oh, wait a minute.
I was like, oof.
Yeah, I don't know if I want chili now.
That's
you know?
It. Chidi wants chili.
Chidi wants chili. So yeah, same like we've seen all the other seasons. Michael and Janet are teamed up. That bond is ridiculous. Janet is definitely his right-hand woman. I don't see that breaking up anytime soon.
No.
And I wonder, you know, who's his audience for this manifesto? You know, what he's going to do with it? You know?
I think that, I don't know, I feel like they're going to give it to the judge, Maya Rudolph's character. I think, although she's like very, very angry at them. Like, is she even going to listen to it? I don't know. She's very, like, unpredictable, I feel like.
I think they all are. They all characters.
That's true.
And at this point, what is the manifesto there to save his soul? Or you think he's just, like, airing it off his chest? Like, this is the story. I have to let someone read it. Yeah. Or do you think it's mostly of a bailout thing? Like, I want to try to get to, I guess, the good place. Can he go to a good place, Michael?
No, I don't think
so. He can't
go
to a good place. He's a demon.
Yeah.
But... yeah, so we are definitely interesting about this manifesto.
I think that, I don't know, I think that the main idea of writing it is to change the whole process of judging people, which is cool. And I like that they kind of, I mean, they've hinted at that in, like, past seasons, but I like that they're bringing that to the forefront, because I think that's really sort of a unique, like, unexplored territory.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's just going to be a better person watching this season.
Yeah.
I feel like, morally, I'm just kind of a little bit more conscious of things.
Me too.
It really does.
Okay. Yes, since season one, I'm just like, no, it's really, like, made me think. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
But to be honest, if hell is the bad place in this TV show, it's not too bad.
Well, okay, but yogurt, it's, like, the fake neighborhood. Yes. But, like, the actual traditional bad place with, like, scorpions and volcanoes. Like, that's terrifying. Like, like, if I don't get it, like, frozen yogurt sounds great to me. Yeah. Like, I love me some frozen yogurt. Yeah. But I don't want any volcanoes or scorpions or any of the other creative torture methods.
Over hell? Like, hell is horrible. Like, the hell in the Bible is hot and torturous. Yeah. So frozen yogurt can't be that bad at
Heck
this point.
No. Give it, bring it on.
I love the things in the bad place that's just so say it's supposed to be torturous, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy. But you know what's not torture here at AfterBuzz?
All of our other shows, guys. Our other shows are The Good Place, for sure. So our network actually produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, comedy, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your guys' help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are completely optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we will thank you guys on air. We love talking to you guys. We love it when you jump in the group chat. It's just so much more fun the more people we get involved. So for now, thank you guys for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes! That was brought to you by Taylor Gates.
Yeah, well, the best radio voice.
No, but yeah, just to jump back into things, whatever. Chidi. Did you think he was going to react this way? He completely flips out.
No, I really didn't. Like, this was like a fun side of Chidi that I feel like we haven't really seen
before.
He's
so robotic.
Yeah. Like, we've seen him obviously, like, have crises and, like, freak out, but this was, like, a whole nother level to him. Like, we saw him just take off his shirt. We saw him. I know, right?
Yeah, I was like,
okay. Like, I like this. And, like, throwing the candy and the chili and, like, not even being a real professor. Like, we just saw him go off the wall.
Yeah.
Full-fledged. Yeah. Crisis. Right,
I have to agree. I didn't know he was going to act that way. I thought maybe back in like the past seasons when he was aware of certain things, he just gets stuck to where he couldn't make a decision. As opposed to this episode, he makes all the wrong decisions, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that bill was $880 worth of groceries. He was just like, throw it in a bag. He
Do
was
it.
Like, yeah. He was
Here's
like
my a, car. Yeah. Take it.
Take my car. He put the t-shirt on, the who, what, where, why, wine.
Wine. I thought that was so funny. That t-shirt would make you end up in the bad place. like if the terrible license plate, like, you know that shirt's deducting some points.
And farting is, that's definitely a bad thing. Him being in that shirt too small, pink,
so funny,
hugging his body ever so okay, sorry about that.
No, I was gonna turn into like a little thirst fest right now.
I was surprised he had abs, and you know, those guns and them pistols, boy. But yeah, I kind of saw it coming, like Chidi will react this way.
I don't know. I didn't, honestly. I was, like, a little bit surprised by it. But, I mean, I loved seeing it. I thought it was... That was fun. And it made sense with the plot, for sure. But it's always interesting to see him, who's usually so buttoned up, like...
And my question is, where's Simone?
I know! I was wondering that, too!
she wasn't there to comfort her man at all. Like,
I know.
I would think she would be there to kind of help him take a little bit of the brunt, but she wasn't there at all.
Yeah, I guess that they probably, he wouldn't have wanted to tell Simone because then she would not have been able to get any more points either, since once you know. But still, the fact that he didn't have to, like, lie to her or anything, I was like, I know, I was missing her this episode.
Just the part you just mentioned a little bit about the points. Do you think that was a good idea for them to just damn them and tell them the truth? Because once they told them, that was basically like, there's no other options for you.
I mean, you know? I think that the mistake that they made was at the end of last episode, because they were sort of like, they decided they were going to have a reunion and still see each other like every year. And they seemed to be on like a pretty good track. And so like when Michael did decide to sort of meddle again, that's when things fell apart. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else they could have done, but
I would have lied. Yeah, but for the purpose of storytelling for the show, that was a great thing. Because we were getting redundant with seeing them snowplow, mm-hmm. snowplow, fix, arrange. So it was a great move to change the direction of the script so we wouldn't get bored as an audience. But if I was in his shoes, Michael, I possibly, I would have lied some more mm-hmm. and just kept it going. Because at that point, these are, so say, my friends and all this stuff, and I don't want to damn them to hell. He even said he wanted to kill them.
Yeah. Are we positive that they would end up in hell, though? Like, do we know the status of their points?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they stopped the point system, but, like, could it be possible that they do have enough to be in the good place now? Like, do we have that question answered yet?
I guess you're right.
There I might think that be would be interesting.
Bit, maybe that's a judge answer.
Yeah.
Because at this point, I assume that them knowing that they're working on a point system automatically like...
ends the points, for sure. But I don't think we ever got resolved if they know, like, the number of points they have.
Hmm.
So it's like, maybe they are in the positive. Hey. Like, maybe they would go to the good place if they died
after
today.
After 2 years on Earth of just being good.
You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Maybe that's a prediction.
Ooh! You're jumping ahead there, Taylor. I like what you're thinking about. moving on to Tahani and Jason.
Yeah.
Of course, they're a group now. They're a duo, which we kind of see coming.
They're such a weird pair.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I'd rather Jason with a robot. I just can't take
it. Janet and Jason are pretty cute.
Because I feel like they're both kind of, well, Janet's obviously not dumb, but
They're the same amount of like weird and naive.
Tahani being so materialistic and vain and issues with Jason, it just throws me off. I don't know if you guys can comment in the comments and tell us what you think about it. But I think it's, first of all, an interesting pair starting off. And so now we see Tahani, she's freaking out, right? So now she's giving away money. So she took the news kind of well.
She did.
She took it pretty well.
I would say like the best of everyone. She took it.
She starts giving out money in the streets he's like, maybe you shouldn't call them poor. But she's like, here, you look poor. Take this money. You know, they have like diamond rings on and bejeweled. Oh, you look poor. You know,
she has no concept of like finance.
Not even a little bit. And then Jason, I don't even think he understands what's going on. No, to be
honest. He never does. Yeah. That's why I love him, though. His lines are just... The one that really killed me this episode, when he was talking about off-brand SeaWorld, about how there were just jellyfishes in the kiddie pool.
And killed a whale.
Like, who writes this?
I'm telling you, it's the weed.
It's so good.
It's drugs, I'm sure. I like them in the sense of what they create for us as the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
But if I really have to choose them to be partners, probably not. So Jason, like I said, I don't think he has an idea what's going on. But Tahani... I don't know. Do you think it's a natural reaction that she's going out just giving away all her money? Or do you think did you expect for her to just all of a sudden be vain and just be like, well, I can't do anything else, so...
Yeah, her arc surprised me kind of in the same way as what, what Chidi's arc surprised me too. Like, but I thought it was cool because we usually do get Tahani being very materialistic.
That's her go-to.
No matter what, even when she's trying to be a good person, she's constantly name-dropping celebrities and, like, still has this, like, sort of, you know, appearance of it. So, I liked the side of her. I thought it was something that we hadn't seen before. And she, like, donates, obviously, to the Opera House. And then...
$2 million.
$2 million. Whatever.
Ooh, Anne-Marie. Like, I want to sing opera for that. Yeah.
But,
That's nice.
I loved seeing her and Jason just hand out money on the streets.
Yeah. It's interesting. They're using the characters and giving them a little bit more of a... you know, more levels. To
yeah,
their, more,
definitely.
More, I would say more girth, but I don't think that sounds right. They're giving the characters more girth. They're giving them more, more, yeah, for lack of a better word, girth. Girth.
I thought it was so sweet when Jason had, like, the little pile of cash. Little pile of cash. It was, like, still a lot. But
it was more than my rent.
Yeah. But I thought that was, like, just, that was, like, a really moving moment for me. How he was, like, you know, this could have paid my rent. This could have, like, gotten me in to see a real doctor. And I was, like, oh, wow. Like, we're getting really deep.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I like it when we get those really human moments of them, too. Because, obviously, this is a comedy. But, I mean, we really get some, like, heartbreaking stuff sometimes.
They bring it. And then at the shocking twist is Tahani and Jason gets married. She goes to try to give Jason money. They say, no, you can't do that. Especially, shout out to people talking about people in Florida. We got that part,
you know? They're so harsh on Florida on this show.
They're not nice people from the South with an F. Like, people from the South is just, they're totally, like, acting like everyone's just ding, 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 ding. Yeah. But anyways, because I'm from Houston, so I was like, I have to point that out. But, Tahani wants to give Jason basically the money. And it's interesting to me that Jason wants the money. Well, I guess he's not that dumb.
And I think he just wants to hand more out on the street, to be honest with you. Like, I don't think he's gonna, like, become this really selfish whatever. I think he just, and I think that she knows that he's not going to. So, like, maybe it's safer in his hands, you know?
That's dumb hands to put in. I feel like Jason will lose $100 million in a week. Easily.
Yeah, just like buying dumb, stuff. Like, Jaguar, like, video games and merch and stuff.
Someone come to him and was like, hey, I can make you $1 million if you just give me all your money.
Okay.
You know, he'll
honestly,
give it to him.
That would be how he loses it.
Like, I don't see him as a good investment at all. And I think Tahani, I think she associates her money and her wealth with her sin, which is interesting. Like,
well, I mean it makes sense, sort of, because it's like, even when she donates, she always wants to almost buy status. Like, that's essentially where her weak spot is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Money is evil, so you should all take out a pen right now. Send it to 595. No.
So my Venmo is,
my Cash App is. Get rid of that evil money. Just
you don't
give
it need
to
it.
Me. You know,
you don't want it.
You want a little Taylor? You want a little evil?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pull it to Hani and just give it right to me.
Just give it to us. We're going to do great things
with
it.
We'll do great with it.
Yeah.
We're Sydney Opera good. House. It's all going there.
I don't know about the opera. That's an interesting choice anyways.
No, it makes choice? Total sense. Being Tahani.
Because
she's
still
all
bougie.
About the R's. Yeah.
Why not it. Like a starving country in like South America? Instead, she does.
That's not glamorous opera? Enough.
Even in her giving, she's kind of superficial.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Oh, but it was a good gesture. And also like Eleanor, basically, right? Eleanor was predictable, I think. She went to the bar, said it's her birthday. I love the way she just lies with a straight face. She's like, my name is Tom. And she just straight face looking at you. You're like, oh, shoot. Like, she goes to the bar. She's like, it's my birthday. I want the free margarita. Then she comes clean. It's like, it's not my birthday, but I'm having a hell of a day. Give me the margarita.
Give me the margarita.
And he's like, okay, you know. And then all of a sudden, she sees a wallet. And for some reason, that changes her heart. What did you think about that?
I agree with you that her storyline was a little bit more predictable than the others, but and I feel like that's like to be expected because she's sort of the grounding force of this whole show and she's always the one that kind of like has the last minute, you know, realization. But I thought it was like interesting that she just couldn't take like the money because like deep down, you know that she's learned so much and like that little voice in her head has grown stronger and stronger.
At first it was mute.
Now it was
a little bit of volume. It's like 10 on the volume scale.
Yeah. But I really liked it. And I really liked like when she gave the wallet back. I thought that was a really cool scene.
And do you notice that in this show, doing good sometimes is hard? It's like going more out your way. For example, it would have been easy for her to just find the wallet, drop the wallet off. Boom, 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 right?
Yeah.
No, she drops it off at the first house. No one's there. She has to carry all the stuff back to the second guy's house, to Fred's house. Then she has to hear the story about Fred's daughter, Carolyn, you know, basically. And it was interesting, too, like, the fact that his most precious thing in his wallet was not the money. Mm-hmm. It was scribbled little design by his daughter, Carolyn, who Eleanor calls a horrible artist with no talent, right?
Classic. Yeah. Classic Eleanor.
She was like, yeah, the kid has no talent.
Kid cannot draw.
Yeah, I feel like this show always have little subliminal messages in it.
Yeah.
The fact that he his prized possession is not the money, and it is his drawing. That's his good luck charm from his daughter.
Yeah, and I thought it was really sweet how he's like, you are a good person, and yeah. I want my daughter to turn out like you someday. Oh, and I was like, oh, because that's the reward, you know? Yeah. Like, Eleanor didn't get the money, but she got, like, what she needed to hear to kind of spur her into action. It was really pure.
Good place, you're not going to fool me. Bring me the money. Show me the money. I'm tired of these ambiguous things of,
you are not.
This is life and living. No.
This is not getting you many points right now.
You know, thank God none of you guys are the judge or God.
We don't know. I did eat a burrito the other day, so.
Oh, shoot, man. You know, I feel like maybe I don't get into it. I was going to say, maybe I'm not going to get to the good place. I will get to the good place. We will.
We're determined.
Yeah, but just little things like that, I think, makes this episode even more 3D, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's lessons everywhere. You know, we can get into a little later, you know, and Chalk It Up to Chidi, all the different things he broke down as far as the virtual exits and stuff, but it's crazy. Out of this whole group, who do you think is more likely to get into like the good place?
That's such a hard answer.
If you can jump back in it, you know, if you can give him another chance. I mean,
I think that, I think that right now it would be Eleanor, just because she's going through so many, you know, because
she's the star of the show.
She's the star of the show, and I don't know. I feel like she's made like the most progress, because she started out in like a very like
dark
she was
place,
very
yeah.
clearly not supposed to be there. I guess I would say Eleanor, but it just depends, because I mean, all these characters have ups and downs, and you know, make really good progress one week and then just like go completely back to square one the next and have their moments. But it's an interesting scale on which they judge where you should go, like the point system's very odd. I want someone to, like, write a book about the point system just so I can learn it. Like, I'm so curious.
Yeah. It's going to be, like, biting your nails, hail. Like, I think it's going to be a crazy scale.
Yeah. They've
it's
had
gonna be the most...
Yeah, they've had, like, some of it, like, in season one and stuff where, like, they were kind of figuring it out. But I love the little tidbits of, like, dumb stuff that either gets you points or makes you lose them.
Yeah. I think no one has a chance. If that really was a real scale for everyone to live on this earth, no, I don't think anyone would make it. I think that Chidi, to be honest, I think that Jason, more or less, kind of deserves to be in a good place. I feel like he's I hate to say dumb, but yeah, it is what it is. He's such a dumb character. I feel as though he shouldn't be held accountable too much for his actions.
He's
what
so
do you think?
Innocent. Like, He doesn't quite get it.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, Tahani was very, very, like, generous. I mean, she was generous for the wrong reasons, but, like, you can't deny that she was generous. And Chidi has a great, you know, moral compass, but he does make other people miserable just by...
very miserable.
You know, the way he does it. So it's like, I don't know.
I think none of them deserve to be in a bad place, kind
I
of.
I know.
Because Chidi, he's not a bad guy.
No, he's
just
not.
Indecisive. These are just characteristics.
Yeah, and there was a big Twitter thread, actually, that I read the other day, like, defending Chidi. And, like, Chidi should be in the good place. Like, it's not, like, no one has to deal with him if they don't really want to. And I'm like,
true.
Kind of true.
He's not hurt anyone.
He isn't.
Unless he's over your life. Like, if he's a brain surgeon, then no, Chidi.
That's true. That can
like,
cause some problems.
Where should I cut? Where should I cut?
But you know what? Justice for Chidi, okay?
Justice for Chidi. Hilarious.
Justice for Chidi.
And I think also the same thing, like you said, with Tahani too, like, as her character, I feel as though she is a product of her circumstances.
Yeah.
That's all she's been around. She's been the sister, you know, always overlooked. And I think she tries. She just don't know better, too, in a certain way, you know? And Eleanor is just I'm about to use the D word. She's just not the nicest person.
She's not, but she does, like, she can clearly improve. Like, we've seen her improve many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And she has her moments, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what we got into the episode for today. We're going to get into our special segment.
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo-hoo! Is there music?
No, I don't think so.
Is there? Okay.
Let's go right into it.
Chalk It Up to Chidi.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to get into this too, but you can go ahead and lead on this one.
Yeah, okay. So there was a ton of philosophy and things that came up during this episode, just because he had a pretty major meltdown in front of his class when he was teaching things. So the first thing he mentioned that you touched on a little bit earlier was Aristotle's virtue ethics. So basically, virtue ethics are certain virtues of mind and character, like courage and generosity, that we should all strive to, like, kind of base our life around.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, I thought that was
I think that's really, yeah, that
makes sense.
Yeah, virtue, caring. Yeah, I get that one.
Yeah. That one's like,
I think it's a mixture of all of these, but I'm going to let you get into more. But I feel like life is all of these kind of wrapped up in a bowl.
Definitely, yeah. And then the second one he talked about was consequentialism, which is a base of judgment that hinges on how much good comes out of a decision versus how much pain it causes. So I think that's sort of like, does the end justify the means? And like, mm-hmm. is this adding something positive to the world? Is it, you know, intentionally hurting anyone? And the last one he mentioned was deontology, I think that's how you pronounce it.
That's the way I wrote it down.
Yeah. Which are strict rules and duty everyone must follow in a functional society.
That sounds more like a dictatorship.
What?
Like the Ten Commandments or something. Like, do, these are the rules to follow.
Yeah. But I think it's like really basic ones, like don't kill people, you know? Mm-hmm. That's like something that everyone sort of shares, I guess.
Yeah.
That aren't like specific to a certain area. And the last thing you talked about was nihilism, mm-hmm. which is a much darker point of view. That is, the world is empty and there's no point to doing anything, so just do whatever you want, which is a pretty dangerous philosophy to follow.
I think different ones are in different stages. Like, for example, consequential, I think that's more as a baby. When you're learning, like, right versus wrong. You don't touch the stove because it's hot. You know, I think that's more instincts and stuff. The virtue, I think you have to learn that. Some things I think are enacting us, like being generous and sweet. And when you see someone old, you know, you help them.
Something, you know. Hopefully.
Hopefully. I don't know. I think that one's more based with, you know, around other people and stuff like that. I think that has something to do with a community. And that's not necessarily something alone, you know. And you have to have those virtues, I guess, once you kind of interact with other people.
Yeah, and you have to, like, decide what virtues are the most important to you, I think. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, everything, you know, all the good virtues are important, but, whatever you sort of, like, prioritize above the other ones. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. That tells a lot about you. Like, I remember in, high school, we'd have, like, a list of, like, 100 virtues, and then you circle the 10 that are most important, and, like, put a square around the 5 that are most important, then, like, you star the one that is, like, most important to you.
I have to ask you which is most important. You know,
gosh, I don't remember what it was. I think mine was respect, just because respect, like, I feel like kind of encompasses, like, a lot of them, so it's sort of, like, cheating in a way.
The umbrella.
Like, respect, that encompasses loyalty and kindness and, like, all of this stuff. But, that's a little bit off topic, but I think it's interesting. So go online and, like, find a test like that, because it, like, tells you a lot about yourself.
Yeah. Let's see who's really in a good place.
Yeah.
You know, in the comments, let us know, are you more virtuous, consequential, or deontologist?
Yeah. Take a BuzzFeed quiz. There's probably one
there you out go. There. All right. And if you are into nihilism, don't even comment at all.
Maybe rethink your life.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be, this is horrible. Life is horrible. Everything's dark. Like, don't even comment on that one.
It's bleak for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you, Taylor. That was great. Chalk it up to Chidi. It's always such great little nuggets in there.
Yeah. I feel like I learn things when I watch the show, which is, I mean, I can't really say that when I watch, like, Dance Moms or something.
I can't. No.
I learned how to do jazz.
Yeah, I learned that moms can be a little feisty. I wonder if I'm going to be like that when I get older, I guess. Next, we're going to go to news.
Yeah, let's do news.
News. There is the news.
Yeah, we got that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Kristen Bell actually just made some comments today that were really interesting. She said some things about Snow White, about how she uses Snow White to kind of teach her kids different lessons, like about how Snow White takes the apple from the witch, and she, like, teaches her kids not to talk to strangers, and she teaches her kids sort of about consent, about how some of the princes will, like, kiss sleeping princesses, and how that's not really necessarily okay. Which actually sparked some backlash for some reason, just because they're like, well, you play a Disney princess, like, you shouldn't be criticizing other ones. And listen, some of them are outdated, like, things that were written in 1920, like, they're outdated, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I didn't have a problem with their comments at all, but I thought that was really interesting. It's, like, sort of a big story. Like, it's getting coverage on E! News and stuff. I'm like, so whoa.
They're bashing. Are they bashing her for
some people on Twitter have been bashing her.
You Twitter people, boy.
It's, like, that's a good thing to, you know, use them as learning moments.
And that's I mean, anything essentially that you show children should be somewhat of a learning experience.
Exactly.
At that age, it shouldn't be just purely entertainment. It should be something, whether it's teaching you how to love, or, you know, women to be, you know, be the damsel in distress. But it is teaching them something.
Yeah.
Indirectly, for sure.
And it's so much more accessible when you do it through, like, a princess story or whatever. Mm-hmm. And
with a happy ending.
Yeah. And it's, like, not that she's discounting, like, all of Snow White and saying it's terrible, you should never read it. It's just, like, picking out little problematic points, which it has. Like, it just does. Yeah, yeah. So
the Snow White fans, relax.
Yeah. don't come at me, because, I mean, I like me some Snow White, too. I love the Disney princesses, but... Mm-hmm. I mean, some of it just didn't age super well, and that's life, guys.
But for it to come this many years in is amazing, though. For it to still be somewhat, you know, relevant, and
absolutely,
those stories have been told for ages.
Yeah.
You know, our parents' parents.
Yeah, and I mean, Grimm fairy tales, those have been around forever, and... Mm-hmm.
And they just keep revamping. It's good storytelling.
Exactly.
But stay away from Cinderella. That's my girl. No.
Don't you ever.
Oh, interesting. Where can they find that article?
You can find it on E! News. I think AV Club also covered it. There's been quite a bit of coverage. It just was today. So this is very recent news for you guys. Hot off the presses.
Okay.
There you go.
I don't know. I just wanted to do that.
I liked it.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Taylor. Don't leave me hanging, Taylor. next week, the last thing we're getting into today is our predictions.
The sci-fi. This is so Halloween-y. No, so festive.
Let's like disappear.
Pop right back up.
Yeah, pop. Yes, predictions. Oh, man. This show, I have to say, out of so many different shows, this is one of the hardest shows to predict.
It is, for sure.
Because there's so many different ways everything can go. And these characters, like we saw the different switches already, like, you just never know. I'll let you go first. What do you think was going to happen?
Well, I'm going to take my little comment that I made earlier and slip it right down here, too. I really am curious, like, if they do have enough points to get to the good place.
Because
I would love to see the real good place. We haven't seen that yet. We've seen the bad place, Earth, middle place, but we haven't really like spent any time in the good place. Like, I don't know. Can we at least get like a trial there? Like, I want to see it. Does it look like Michael's bad place?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that they're not going to stay on Earth like for the rest of the show or anything. I think we're definitely going to go back to the afterlife soon. Yeah.
Wow.
I just have a little hint. Just because I feel like that's where the show really thrives. Like, it's strong every week, but I loved it.
It's tired of being around the humans.
Yeah.
Bring us around the immortals.
Exactly. But that's, like, really all I have to predict. I feel like this episode almost felt like a series finale in a way.
It's done, yeah. I feel like, bring the curtains down. And
she's like, it's fine. Like, we're just going to help everyone else get to the good place. There was no real cliffhanger, so I was like...
Yeah.
Okay. It felt like it could have been the end, but we know it's not.
We know.
It's not the end.
So the fact that she said that, I wonder if they're going to do another time lapse. Well, 3 months later, 6 months later, because that's playing out too. So hopefully they don't go that way. And I hope they take, you know, your initiative and go somewhere else. Just leave Earth alone.
Yeah.
But the fact that she's like, guys, let's just try to be good. I think they're going to be on Earth, I think, another episode for sure.
Yeah.
At least.
I think maybe a little bit more time, but I don't think that... I don't think we'll be on Earth past season 3 or anything.
That would be interesting if the good place is actually Earth.
Whoa. Like, anything can happen in this show. Like, so many twists.
Let me see. My predictions. I feel like they're not going to go to the bad place, obviously. The show is called literally The Good Place, you know? I just don't see that happening. I do not see them going to the bad place. However, I feel as though... Michael and Janet, something's going to happen with them. Like, something's going to happen to where they have more consequences, possibly from the judge. Or the judge may be cool and just be like, you know, what I'm hoping doesn't happen is another reset.
Yeah.
That's what I don't want to happen.
Yeah. I always feel like I fall in love with the versions that they are. And so when they're reset, I'm like, oh, I miss old Eleanor or whatever, even though it's obviously still the same character. But
they're that good, though.
Yeah.
They switched up.
I don't know.
It's hard to predict this one.
It's anyone's game. Like, it's anyone's say. Like, we never know. But I just hope we see more Maya Rudolph. I love her character in this show so much.
Janet maybe is going to have a breakdown because Tahani and Jason's married.
Yeah, it's platonic, but...
She may start shortaging out, maybe, possibly. That's pretty much for the predictions.
I'm excited.
That's it for you?
That's it for me. My prediction is we're going to love it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you guys so much. Tell them where they can find you.
You guys can find me on Twitter at @alfalfa_Ann, on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. I also host the Law & Order SVU after show every Thursday at 8 p.m.
And hey guys, again, I am Sarai. You can find me as Funny Sarai, FunnySayrie, on Twitter and Instagram. Also, I'm going to be on Empire starting at 7 o'clock right here at AfterBuzz on the drama section for sure. And until then, you guys have a great day and you stay in a good place.
Stay good.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.